Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic, healer, medium. Talents of today's guest on how to be comfortable in your own shoes. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's Thursday, October 3rd, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is a beautiful fallish, summerish kind of day, blue skies, and we're ready to have a guest back by popular demand with us, but we would love to hear from you today, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 714-242-5248, and you can also email us here at the studio at goodvibeproductions@gmail.com. Again, that 10-digit number is 714-242-5248. And what I said just moments earlier, our guest is back by popular demand. She was on a couple of weeks ago, and boy, the switchboard was going wacky, crazy with people calling in, and we didn't get enough time to address all those callers, so we brought her back, and we're just fortunate to have her with us today. She is one of the top psychics and mediums in the world, and she has been a successful radio broadcaster herself for over 19 years and continues to possess that unique ability to draw and hold an audience by entertaining and enlightening her listeners. I know we're going to have a dynamic show with her today, and as I said, we are thrilled to have her back. So please welcome Dr. Linda Salpin. Hi, Linda.
Thanks. Hi, Lauren. Thank you for that lovely introduction. It's wonderful to be back.
You're welcome. My pleasure. As I said, we were talking just before air that the technology gods are with us. So
yes, they are.
You know, we've got the green light, and we're good to go. We are really good to go. And we were just talking briefly about a mutual friend, about her establishing her own psychic gifts, and you mentioned about it allowed her to grow, and you have been a friend of hers for quite a long time. So how have you seen your gifts as a psychic help those clients grow in that particular way?
Great question. Okay, first of all, I was not always psychic, so that people know that I wasn't born a psychic. This is not something I grew up to be. It was not an aspiration of mine. I became psychic after surviving a plane crash in 1981, and I ran for 11 years. I had three near-death experiences, and I kept running and until finally something made me surrender to the psychic part of me that had evolved as a result of the traumas. And I got into radio in 1994 here in Los Angeles on KBIG 104 FM, and I was the nighttime psychic. And I actually was one of the first four people in the States to create the radio psychic phenomena. And I had been with Psychic Friends Network on their infomercial with Dionne Warwick prior to that. So it was all at the very beginning of what the psychic world was about, going to commercialization back in the 90s. And when people would come to me, such as our friend that we're discussing, she at that point, for an example, she was very shut down. She'd gone through a horrible divorce. She relocated. And she was in a job she really wasn't happy with. And she just couldn't see anything other than what she was experiencing. And little by little, I taught, and what I do for people is to teach them to find a God, to find that little speck of light, and that to find that there's light at the end of the tunnel somewhere. You just got to get through the hallway to get through it. And the way that I start teaching people to find the light within themselves is by opening up to the idea that there is a God out there. I don't care. It's not a religious God, because I found that it's a very spiritual, loving being that will heal us and guide us if we allow it to happen. because with all the therapy I'd had from being in a plane crash hit by a fire truck, totaling a car and having the white light experience, it wasn't until I just said, okay, God, what do you want me to do, did things really start to come together for me. I teach people how to watch for the signs of metaphysical phenomena in their own life, how the spiritual world interacts with our physical being, how things work in sync with one another. Dr. Carl Jung was the first metaphysician, or he was a psychiatrist, but he was a metaphysician that coined the term synchronicity while watching the dolphins one day. And he started to put together how the universe works, like why everything seems to fall into place at the right time, even though we panic, we worry, we fear things happening in a different mode. So, like with our friend, it took years. It didn't happen overnight, but finally she started to become more secure in her body, mind, and emotions, and as a lot of the negativity left, her positivity started to shine through, and that's what I help people do, is to find the light within themselves. So many of us are depressed, worried, fearful, anxious, that we don't relax and trust, and,
well,
and I think
one
it's
one
my
the...
job.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was
no,
going to say one of the wonderful aspects of what you do is I think a lot of people get stuck in this is that they look outside themselves to find the answers that they seek. And what you're teaching is to look inside and to,
right,
to find
that
light. Right,
but there's also a God that's outside. There's still a God that is outside us. There's something in us. I definitely agree. There's our own spirit. It's our own soul. But there's still a God that keeps it all going and ties it all together like a big tapestry. There, that's not you and me. I'm not God, you're
no.
not God, and there is a God.
Well,
there's
what I'm
a spirit.
Saying is that, yes, but to it is so noisy out in the world, and in order to hear, this is what I'm experiencing myself, in order to hear the guidance that you're helping to teach to this, our particular friend and to your other clients as well, is to be still and quiet. To be able to hear that and connect with them. And if some of our listeners who are saying, well, yeah, I'm kind of in the dark. You've often heard people
right.
say that. I'm in the dark. What sign or what step can you give our listeners that can help them better visualize what to listen for, what to look for, how to turn on that light?
Okay, one of the ways I teach God to people is with butterflies. The way I see the universe is through butterflies. There's a poem called God, Are You Real? It's on my website at lindasalvin.com. It's in my infomercial on YouTube. It was a poem that was given to me 20 years ago, and it's Sanskrit. And it goes something like this. It says, the child whispered, God, speak to me, and a meadowlark sang, but the child did not hear. So the child said, God, speak to me, and the thunder rolled across the sky, but the child did not notice. So the child said, God, speak to me, and a star shone brightly, but the child did not see. So the child said, God, show me a miracle, and a child was born, but the child did not know. So the child yelled out in despair, touch me, God, and show me you're real. Whereupon God reached down and touched the child, but the child brushed the butterfly away and walked away unknowingly. So over the years on my radio show nationwide, I've been syndicated. I've been in over 350 markets. I did the whole thing in the 90s and early 2000s. I would read that poem. And little by little, it sunk in that God can be as simple as a butterfly. Here's this kid, show me you're real. So there's a meadowlark, there's a star, there's a human being born, there's thunder in the sky, there's a butterfly. That's all God is. It's everything around us. And when I get people to begin to see the universe and how we're all a part of it, the light goes on.
That's true. There's a similar story about your butterfly poem about a guy who's stranded on an island and he's praying to God to be rescued. So a helicopter comes by.
And he gets sent, a helicopter and a boat. Yeah, and he keeps getting
yeah,
higher.
Yeah,
no, I'm waiting for God. God will rescue me. God will rescue me.
Right. God says, where are you? I've been waiting for you. I'm stranded here. And he says, I sent you a boat, a helicopter, and so on. And, you know, it's true, because just what you said, and we have that expectation of, okay, God is blonde, blue eyes, or God is black, or however we view God, that if that doesn't show up, we can't see that there's another way to look at it. And
right.
that's what you're illustrating, that it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Right, and it's just connecting into that and then stopping the panic and stopping the running and stopping the anxiety that goes along with it. I mean, we all have anxiety about our finances. We all have anxiety about our love life. We all have anxiety about the home we live in, or if we're in foreclosure, or if look what's happening with the government shutdown right now. I mean, you know, it's not just you. It's not just me. It's the whole world is all messed up and confused. But if we buy into all of what we hear and everything that's going on, then of course we're going to live in panic and fear and upset and confusion, and we're not going to have any rest. But if we trust and know that everything's in its divine right order, the way it's supposed to be, then there's going to be some type of God that rescues, God that comes through, that the faith and the courage will outweigh the fear and the negativity, because we're so used to negative thoughts and negative actions that it's very hard to be on a more positive, but not just the way we think. It's watching how the universe works in a loving manner, and when we're in what's called the flow. And there's many times most of us get out of that flow, go in an opposite direction than what's meant for our spirit, and that's when we trip and fall in life. Same thing with the relationships.
Yeah, I say that when your neurotic roommate, or AKA the ego, comes in and says, hey, you're not paying attention to me. We used to go out and play, go shopping, go partying, and where have you been? And
right.
when that concept comes in, then you're kind of off that path of the flow. So you kind of know. But we've been talking for a little while, and we have a caller here. So let's see if our caller would like to add to the conversation or has a question for Dr.
Sure.
Linda Salvin. Hi, you are on the line with Dr. Linda Salvin. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, I love the quiet, silent type. Okay.
Yeah, so just disconnect.
Yeah, they just love to listen. That's fine. That's fine indeed. Again, let me give out that number for our listeners to call in so they can ask questions to our guest today, Dr. Linda Salvin. That's 714-242-5248. We have operators standing by, and please give us a call. Yeah, so this is a very interesting topic that we're having about the growing of spiritual growth.
I just want to say, like, what has happened to, here was a woman that went through a horrible divorce and lived in a lot of fear and everything, and fast forward, as she's opened up spiritually and consulted different psychics and mediums and did her own work on the inside and growing and everything, she's now written a book about past lives, and she's written a book about the journey of the soul from where she was to where she is now 15 years later. You never know what's going to evolve once that creativity and that spirituality is tapped into.
Yeah, it's the kind of letting go of, as I mentioned earlier, an expectation, an attachment. I had gone to a service at the Self-Realization Fellowship.
I love it out there over on Sunset Boulevard in the Palisades.
Not the one in the Palisades, but the Hollywood Temple. And the monk that spoke that morning gave a talk about how to find God, whether you're a single person or, as Yogananda, their guru, said, in a household. But he mentioned a letter that some woman had wrote about her longing to find a partner in her life, and how she prayed to God for this type of person, and I still want to have this relationship. She said, but if it's not for my best interest, and she's talking to God in this letter, and if you have something else you'd like me to do with my life, please let me know so that I can move on in that effort. So she kept praying for that partner for months, but yet on the other hand, let go of having it and just put it out to God. And I guess she had met someone at an event who was also praying to God to find someone, and these two people connected and found one another. But the point that I'm trying to make is that I just love that she said she was willing to give it up if it wasn't in her best, didn't suit her best needs.
Yes, it's the surrender, it's the letting go, it's the willingness to change, it's the willingness to take a different path and see where it's meant to be. and what's supposed to happen for people, because a lot of the times we're going down the wrong path and it's a disastrous situation after another, like me with the public health world. All doors kept opening in the music industry and in comedy for me, and then I ran from that. And then I ended up in radio the last 19 years working as a metaphysician and a psychic, and I developed a candle line. So I've been helping people for a long, long time. Whether or not it's the right path, it's what happened after a lot of accidents and surgeries. I was sort of like thrown into it to be of service. I think you got to watch the signs around you and be willing to take the opportunity as they're presented.
That's true. And let's get back to that. You were a stand-up comedy in the 80s and 90s. What was that a passion of yours, and why did you choose not to take that path or continue with that?
I don't know. I honestly can't answer that. I was doing a comedy tour in New York, and I was in Florida, and I was presented with a management opportunity when I was in New York, and I got back to L.A., and, like, I was talking to somebody because I'd been on the road for 3 weeks, so I went from, like he said, from God to God, and all that energy just changed. And then trying to do the club scene around Los Angeles was a lot more difficult than doing the club scene in New York, and I never followed through on that person who wanted to manage me back in New York. I still have his card. I still have his card 20 years later.
There's still hope.
But, yeah, there could be, but I don't know if he's still managing or if he'd even remember me. But the bottom line is that I didn't follow through at the time. I didn't know. I didn't understand how the business worked back then. I do now. But because I stopped the flow, I stopped performing. I got off the stage. And have I regretted it? You bet. I've regretted it many, many times. But then I found radio, and that became my new platform. And the gratification has come when people call back to say thank you, or this happened, that happened. Oh, my God, you know, we're so right about this. And helping as many people. I've probably done over 40,000 readings and helping 40,000 people. We've just shred years' worth of clients. And I know I've dedicated my life to being of service.
That's wonderful. Well, we have another caller, so let's try our next caller and see who we have on the line.
Okay.
All right. Oh, can you hear me? Oh, hi. You're on the line with Dr. Linda Salvin. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes. My question is, what do you think happens to us after we die?
We go on to another life. Hi, what's your name?
Davis.
Pardon?
Davis.
The soul does not die. The body stops functioning. The soul goes on. I channel people all the time as part of my career. People come to me with their kids who've committed suicide, hung themselves, people from accidents, war, car accidents, slow death with chronic illnesses. And when people are grieving, they want hope and they want to know that their loved ones are okay. And I'm very descriptive in my channeling sessions. I'm in the process of writing my book where I've got about 12 or 15 cases of the different people I worked with through the years that have really made an impact, or I've been given their testimony in writing to compile it, where I bring out details of that deceased person's life. And it gives the closure, the comfort, and the communication to the person calling me. So there's definitely life after death. We're in a holding pattern on Earth. This is the lessons. This is where we go to school. And in many ways, I believe that Earth is really is hell. This is the hell. And we got to go through it to get back to heaven on Earth. So we're just here for, like, you know, 80, 90 years, if we're lucky. And we go through our challenges, and then we ascend to another life and another being, and then we reincarnate. We come back.
Would you
in
mind,
a different
Linda,
body.
Moving forward with this question, maybe caller, I'm curious, is there, the caller, do you have a question about, is there a deceased person you're curious about, you're holding on to?
My question was more related
soul
to...
Soul evolution?
Yeah, as to what
the more
happens.
Spiritual you become in this lifetime, the easier it is to transfer into the next lifetime. The more spiritual you become as a human being now, being of service, giving to other people, understanding how to balance the fears and the anxieties, and the more you trust God and the more you find your God, the easier it's going to be when you die. And then you go to a higher level. There's like classes and levels of you know, like, you know, grammar school, junior high, high school, college, grad school. It's the same kind of thing when you ascend to the other, to the next life. There's our parents, our grandparents, relatives from 10 generations ago, plus strangers will be there to embrace us when we go. Our animals that we've had in our lifetime, whether we've had dogs, cats, rabbits, snakes, hamsters, they're all there. Everybody transfers over to the other side. Only one time in the 20 years of my career, almost 20 years of my career, did I find something negative where somebody didn't quite make it to the light. And I was on the radio, I think it was 1998, and it was so negative and painful that we had to close down the radio show for a few minutes, and all of us had to take a breath because you could feel the energy that took over the studio that night. It was just horrendous. But since then, no, I'm always able to find that we go to the light, and drummers drum, and my mother's probably playing bridge with my uncle and aunt, and she may sew, or she's with her mom and sister and brother and father, and they're doing their thing or whatever. We all reconnect with those that we left behind or who got there before us, and it's another life. But whether or not you come back into that same, what I call the soul circle, when you reincarnate is the question. We don't know. But a lot of times the reason you have so many friends in a certain area, or that you gravitate towards certain beliefs or certain feelings or attractions, is because you've been together in past lives and your soul is evolving in this lifetime on a similar pattern.
I find it fascinating, you know, that the soul does transition. I was relating, someone had related a story to me about the passing of someone, as if they are, and I don't know if I told you this, so if I have stopped, where they are this boat, that the soul, the deceased soul is on this boat, and there's a group of people on the shore, saddened by that loss, crying, waving goodbye as that soul transitions and moves forward to the other side. And once that boat moves towards the horizon, what the people on the shore that the boat just left don't realize is that once that boat crosses the horizon, there's a distant shore with people waving and balloons and partying, saying, "Hey, we've been waiting for you. What took you so long?" And it's so, for me, about death, it's so lovely to know that there is that transition, that other place that they are going back home. And I find it reassuring when you lose someone in the physical sense.
I lost my mother 4.5 years ago, and I have been channeling since 1996, okay? So for 13 years prior to the loss of my mother, I have been talking to dead people. And it wasn't until the loss of my mother did I feel the pain of loss at such a depth that there's no words for losing a parent. There's no words. It's one thing for me to be the comforter and the medium when people come to me, because I'm not the one experiencing the grief. I will tell the story of what I'm hearing and learning from the souls. But once my mother passed, I went to different mediums to get some answers. And I'm not bragging, but some of them just cannot bring in the details that I would get for people when I'm communicating with the other side. I have a true gift from the three near-death experiences. But to get back to Davis's question about soul evolution, why did you call me off the air, Davis? And I'd be more than happy to do a session with you to find out where you're at and where you're headed, so a lot of these questions can come into integration for you, so you don't feel so fragmented and confused out there.
Thank you.
Let me give you my phone number so you can reach me off the air, or you could go online. LindaSalvin.com, LindaSalvin.com, or just call my toll-free number at 888-509-1077. I'll be more than glad to help you through this, because you're growing, and when you don't have anybody guiding you through some of this, it can get scary and your thoughts don't make sense and you question if you're okay or if you're crazy. And really what's happening to you is you're starting to evolve. You're coming out like the caterpillar to a butterfly. You're growing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not alone.
Oh, that's beautiful. No, you're not, and that's why they call it growing pains, because it's challenging and there are difficult moments, but it's beautiful, because if you go through it, there's the light at the other end.
Right, and then you become a whole, then you morph into a whole different type of person. So let me help you with that. Just give a call off the air or email me, and we'll take the next step.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, David. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, that is a very, it's, I don't know about you, but that seems to be a very prominent topic in my experiences lately. Loss of senior people in my life, the thought of death, what happens, self-reliance, all these things that unfortunately most of us don't even think about until we're confronted with the loss of a loved one or the illness of a loved one. And I just think it's reassuring, comforting to know that there is someone like yourself, Linda, that can help people through this challenging time.
Well, you know, I started opening up long before other people did in the 80s with the plane crash. I had an out-of-body experience coming down the ramp in 1981, and then I got hit by a fire truck and had another out-of-body experience. And in 1984, I totaled a car, had the white light experience, and was given the choice to live or die. So, I mean, while all my friends were becoming yuppies, I was becoming psychic, you know, and it made no sense. It made no sense. But I'm on a very different level, and material things don't matter to me, and the strivings of life are very shifted because of the spirituality that has been inbred in me, I guess, from all the experiences. It's something that I look at life from a different position, a different side, I guess. And as much as I love things and travel and all that, there's something about just being at peace and something about being integrated without the fragmentation. Most of us have the fragmentation, but there's a way to bring it all together. So that's why they say mind, body, spirit as one, to make you whole mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. The definition of health is the state of mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. So when we're trying to put it all together, we bring in the spiritual side. And with my background in healthcare and education, it was that definition that kept repeating itself in my mind when I realized now nobody ever talks about the spiritual side. So I decided to embark upon it with my background and experience and bring it forward.
I think that's so helpful because you're right, there is a disease or dis-ease with all of us, and I think a lot of people may be hesitant to approach the spiritual side for fear of their disbelief in a god or, you know,
right.
And spirituality and a religion, in my view, don't necessarily aren't the same thing. You can be non-religious and be spiritual. So it's just, you know, looking at those three components to make you
absolutely
feel perfect. Well, definitely, definitely, definitely. So I have a question I want to ask you, a little bit off the beaten path. But what three adjectives best describe Linda Salvin?
That's my dog in the background. I have a hard time talking about myself. I would say dedicated, definitely spiritual, and passionate.
Oh, that's lovely.
Passionate, because I have a passion to do this work. I have a passion. It's like I don't talk like this normally. When I'm in interviews, it's one thing. If I'm on the radio, it's one thing. It's almost like it just opens up and channels through me, as opposed mm-hmm. to me like being at lunch talking about it. It's a different side of me that opens up, and the wisdom. I don't know where it comes from, because before I got my PhD in metaphysics, I was still talking like this, and it all happened after the plane crash. I did not have this type of wisdom or knowledge of the soul and the evolution prior to all these accidents and what had happened. It just sort of like, I feel like I was initiated and something took over me and I became this spiritual, enlightened being with information to help others.
And we're so grateful that you have. You found the light and now you're passionate about it. And I think once we all can find something we are passionate about, that's where we have the ability to soar and live lives of fulfillment, no matter what it is. It's that passion that we all need. Well, I don't know. 30 minutes does fly by so quickly. It's been so delicious. And I want to thank you again for coming back on the show. And I'm so glad we
did. Anytime, Lauren. Anytime. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I want to give out that toll-free number for people to reach you if they have any questions, those who are listening online. It's 888-509-1077. Or you can contact Dr. Linda Salvin at lindasalvin.com, and you can email her. And thank you again to Dr. Linda Salvin and for her words of wisdom. Please join me next time for another fascinating journey in someone else's shoes, when my guest will be author, activist, and artist, Mara Shane. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining us today and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I hope you find comfort in your own shoes. We'll leave you with Keith Chagall and Diamonds.